Let's speak to the Victims Commissioner, Catherine Stone. Morning to you, Catherine.
Good morning.
Well, we can hear, and it's not a surprise, we can hear on air this morning just how divisive it is when you start to try to define who is a victim in this country, Catherine.
I think these issues are very complicated and they're very difficult, Stephen. And I understand why people are angry and I understand why people are expressing the depth of emotion that they are. We're very clear here that the idea of a pension is for those people who were seriously injured during the Troubles. And those people who were seriously injured in the Troubles have met with us. They've spoken with us. They've told us about the compensation payments that they received in the 1970s being derisory. And the sad fact is they simply weren't expected to live that long. Why can't we afford those people dignity? As they get older, their needs get greater. And we need to make sure that we are caring properly for that group of people. Now, I heard the gentleman say about giving, I might be paraphrasing, but about giving money to bombers and what's this place coming to. We are not suggesting that anyone other than those seriously injured receives this pension.
Yeah, but
I've been here for 2 years and nobody has been able to tell me how many people were seriously injured at their own hand. What people have been able to say to me is, and this is coming from those who were seriously injured themselves, we don't want a tiny, tiny minority of people to undermine the opportunities we have as a group of seriously injured people to have an opportunity to have dignity and receive proper payment.
But if, Catherine, someone who went out with the intent to kill in this country with a bomb in his or her hand from whatever side of the community they were in, if they, in so doing, injured themselves and they had the intent to kill, to murder and to maim, are you suggesting that they get a pension? They get a financial reward for that for the rest of their life?
Of course we're not suggesting that. One of the things that we could propose in our advice on this pension for seriously injured, and we haven't finalised this particular piece of advice yet.
I asked the question, sorry to interrupt, but I asked the question because you say a comprehensive process is put in place for the provision of reparations for all victims. Mm-hmm. Now, under the legal definition of a victim in this country, mm-hmm. a bomber, a terrorist, mm-hmm. Someone that's gone out with the intent to maim or kill would be defined as a victim if they injured themselves.
Mm-hmm. But if we're talking about the provision of a pension for those people who are seriously injured, there would have to be eligibility criteria for that, as there would be for any other type of payment. And one of the things that the First and Deputy First Minister and those drafting the legislation might want to consider is how to transfer across the eligibility criteria from, for example, the criminal injuries compensation legislation, which says if you were injured at your own hand, if you are responsible for the injuries for which you're claiming compensation, you are not entitled to that compensation.
So therefore, with respect, it wouldn't apply to all victims?
There would be eligibility criteria. I think we need to make a distinction between talking about the global definition of a victim and the eligibility criteria for a special pension and what, or a pension for those who are seriously injured. And what we at the Commission do not want to do is to allow the debates about global definition to decrease the opportunities or the likelihood of those people who were seriously injured and who, let's face it, this is a very difficult thing to say, are getting older and their numbers are diminishing. I think that one of the ways in which we could, as a society, acknowledge the sacrifice and the suffering that those individuals have undergone is to give them a pension which affords them dignity in their later years. That's what this is about. It's about those individuals.
The relatives of someone who went out with the intent to kill, but the relatives are an innocent party. And through no fault of their own, they've lost their son, their daughter, they've come to financial hardship. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they've become a carer.
Yes.
Would they be entitled to a pension, do you think?
Well,
should they be?
Of course, people who are victims under the definition, the 2006 definition, which is those who've been injured, those who've been bereaved, or those who are carers, are entitled to seek financial support from the Victims and Survivors Service. And again, although they might be victims under that definition, quite properly, there are eligibility criteria to enable that money to go to the people who are most in need. And at the moment, there are a number of financial schemes that people can seek assistance and support from if they meet those that global definition of victim and they meet the eligibility criteria which allows them to access those, that financial support.
The eligibility, therefore, would rule out people who, through their own hands, have injured themselves.
If the First and Deputy First Minister and those drafting the legislation decide that one of the ways around this problem is to implement or to translate or to put into place something parallel or similar to that in the criminal injuries compensation legislation, then those people who have been found guilty of a criminal offence or who have been injured at their own hand would not be eligible under this particular scheme.
Well, that's, of course, if the First and Deputy First Minister can agree on that.
It is indeed. And of course, all of these, everything that the Commission...
And they don't agree on the definition of a victim, Catherine. You know that.
Well, at the moment, the definition is agreed, Stephen, because it's there set out in legislation. And, you know, one of the things that we have to do is to think about how we move this forward. As I said, the victims who were seriously injured, as many other victims are advancing in years, and we need to think about how we provide properly for that group of people.
Can I move on to the apology? You say among your recommendations, an acknowledgement unit is established jointly by the British and Irish governments, and that will make the appropriate arrangements so that an official apology can be issued to all victims and survivors individually as required.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, all victims.
Mm-hmm. Let me...
An apology from whom?
Let me just draw your attention to the front of two of the newspapers today. Front page of the Belfast Telegraph, call for victims to get sorry letters. Headline on the Belfast Telegraph. Headline on the Irish News, man shot dead by the SAS was innocent, admits the Ministry of Defence. It then goes on to describe the family of Anthony Hughes, who died after being hit by 15 bullets. His family have received a letter from Anna Soubry, who is the Under Secretary of State for Defence, which confirms that Mr. Hughes was wholly innocent of any wrongdoing. And Anna Soubry goes on to say, I apologise on behalf of the government for Anthony's death and also the serious injuries suffered by his brother. She says, I hope this letter may go some way to easing your grief and being clear that your husband and his brother had done nothing wrong. So many people have come to see me here in the commission, or I've gone out to meet with them in their homes. And what they've said to me, and this is the most poignant, humbling thing, is all I want is for somebody to say sorry to me. All I want is for somebody to acknowledge the damage that they've done to me and my family.
But an official apology letter, presumably from the British and Irish governments, right?
This has to be from everyone, Stephen. And this is not about...
But what do you mean from everyone? Who's everyone?
It has to be from every organisation, every group, every agency that perpetrated harm to others in this place.
Individual letters?
Where people want that. This is about choice for me. You know, what we're proposing, that the key thing to this is victims will have a choice about whether or not to engage with these processes.
But you've said, and the interesting words that I looked at the end of this proposal from you, this acknowledgement, this apology letter, you said that we'll make the appropriate arrangements so an official apology can be issued to all victims and survivors individually as required. Mm-hmm. Who would decide when it's required or not?
Well, the victims and survivors themselves would make an approach to a newly established acknowledgement unit who would consider the facts and circumstances and make arrangements for apologies to be issued. This is not about somebody pressing F7 on their computer and sending out a standard letter to everybody. This is about understanding the individual, the family circumstances, and what people have endured and what people have experienced. And I've had people say to me, I want somebody to know the pain and the hurt they've caused to me and my family, and I want them to tell me that they are sorry about that.
Yeah, but the letter is meaningless, mm-hmm, unless it comes from the person who has perpetrated the deed.
Is it not? Or an agency or a group acting on their behalf. You know, the families in the Bloody Sunday inquiry, for example, they received an apology, a public, sincere apology from David Cameron, who stood up in the House of Commons and said what happened on that day was unjustified.
But would this not be, I was going to say get out of jail card there, which is an unfortunate phrase, would this not be an escape route for those people who actually should be individually held to account? So I'll give you an example, and I stress that there are examples, mm-hmm, on both sides of the community. But last night on the Nolan TV show, Michael McConville, mm-hmm, of course, who lost his mom, mm-hmm, he was on the programme, and we will replay the interview very shortly on this show for those of you who missed it. But he said that he wants an individual apology, mm-hmm, from the person who killed his mother. Now, if it was an apology level letter, as you've suggested, say from the IRA, that would be an escape route for whoever the individual was who did it.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And what we're not suggesting, to use your earlier phrase, is that this is a get-out-of-jail-free card. This is not about saying an apology gives you an exemption or a route away from justice.
But how does it mean anything if it's from the organisation and not the individual?
Well, it could well be from the individual, Stephen. We have to be realistic and about what's achievable and what's likely. And if that person is still alive and is able to make that apology.
Well, let me tell you another possible difficulty with what you've proposed. Mm-hmm. Gerry Adams, for example, at the weekend said the IRA is gone. Mm-hmm. It's finished. It's over, he said. Mm-hmm. So who would issue an apology on their behalf if they're gone?
Well, these are challenges that we're going to have to overcome. This is about me recognizing and having listened to people who say to me, I want someone to say I'm sorry. I want someone to understand what they've done to me. And if Michael McConville wants that apology from those individuals, who would deny him that opportunity? But what that doesn't mean is once that apology has been issued, no further action takes place.
But are you sure with respect, Catherine, that this is thought through? Because presumably an apology level, if it did come from an individual, would be an admission of guilt. Would that apology letter be admissible in court? Would there need to be some type of immunity or amnesty for the person issuing the apology letter or not?
These are the things that would need to be considered following the establishment.
You've proposed it. Yeah, so have you considered it?
We have proposed it, Stephen, that these are things that would need to be considered prior to the establishment of this acknowledgement unit.
But do you think there should be immunity for the person issuing the apology?
No, of course not.
So therefore, would the letter be admissible in court?
Well, I don't know the answer to that question. You know, those questions are going to have to be answered by people who are far better at interpreting legislation. It might even mean that we need to have separate legislation to support this. But what I have to do as the Commissioner for Victims and Survivors is to represent the views of those people who come to me as victims. And if they say to me, which they have done in great number, I want an apology for what happened to me, what happened to my loved one, it's my job, it's my duty to represent that to the First and Deputy First Minister.
Okay. Catherine Stone, thank you very much indeed.